Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman, Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland. Mr. Cleland, I have made a terrible mistake. I know this already.
Oh, no. What happened?
Remember last week when I told you that I had, accidentally committed to running that long relay race where I'm going to have to run like 2 6-mile legs of this thing with my wife?
Yeah, I do recall that you did that. I have no idea why you did that, but I do recall.
Yeah. I decided I'm going to need to get in shape for that.
Okay.
I only made it 1.5 miles yesterday. I'm sore.
Well, it's going to be like, typical.
Really sore. And I was sitting there
thinking,
a mile and a half
farther than I would have tried.
I was sitting there going, wait a minute. A 6-mile leg is going to be like a short leg in that thing?
But yeah, don't you have like 4 months to train for it?
Yeah. But
yeah, so you just the baby steps.
Brother, 6 miles seems like so long when you're like, man, how long did I run for? And you're like, 1.5 miles. Oh, boy. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be it's going to be worse than I thought it was going to be.
What 1.5 miles? What is your pace do you have to have for 1.5 miles? Is the pace finish pace?
It wasn't good.
Movement pace?
It was not good.
Can't you just walk if you're really tired? Can't you just start walking?
Yeah, I guess I can.
So, yeah, it's not the end of the world.
No. No.
Are you going to get heckled?
But
the people on the bus going
to
just heckle you?
No, it's going to be like this personal thing because I know my wife will be able to run like 8:20 pace for like her 6 miles. She may even be able to go faster. So it's going to be like, I can't let that happen, you know, because it's dumb male ego. Even though she runs like all the time, I'd be like, I can't let that happen. And so that is what's going to keep me from walking. Yeah, right. It's the dumbest thing ever, but yeah. I'm gonna be right there going, I cannot let this happen.
Russ, I'm gonna need you to grab a drop for me. Do you remember Back to the Future 3?
Yes.
Okay, so do you remember when Michael J. Fox walks into the bar, the old bar, when he comes back and those guys are sitting around drinking and this is right before I think it's whatever the old doctor with the gray hair, he takes the shot, he passes out.
Those
old guys are sitting around, and that one guy goes, "Run for fun." If there's a clip, that's what I want Dusty to think of time you try to run. A bunch of old guys sitting around drinking whiskey, around going, "Run for fun."
I'll take a look.
Who does that anymore? Well, a lot of people.
A lot of people do.
A lot of people love to run.
I do not.
And I'm gonna be straight up honest with you.
Yeah.
There's one thing I'm very jealous of in life is watching people every morning and that jog by us and they're in their gear and they look so happy and they're fitnessy. And I go, I am so jealous that I can't do that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm really see right now on cue. Here comes a young lady. Mm-hmm. She's going to run on by. She's doing so much fitness. And I can't do that in life. It's just. Who I am, there's nobody that's my size that runs around and goes, this is fun. And it's frustrating. And I wonder, maybe I do it. Or I try to, or I don't know. I just can't get the understanding of jogging for fun. It's physically so hard.
I don't get it either. I'm right there with you. I'm not your size, and I still don't get it. I had a buddy, we talked about this. I had a buddy that was like three spins. He ran the Eugene Marathon, full on marathon. He did it. Like, there's some people that are big that do it. And
what do you mean? How big is he to do a full marathon?
What do you mean? I just told you he's like 300 pounds. He's almost 300 pounds.
What?
Yeah. He's like six.
He ran a marathon at 6'2", 300?
Yeah. Yeah. About that.
He's a tank.
Yeah. It wasn't fast. And let's not act like it was fast, but I am in awe of him for training to do that.
That is impressive. I don't, anybody that can do that, it's incredible.
Yeah. I give him a lot of credit. I'm like, man, I was sitting there like, man, I wish I could do that. Yeah, I wish I could be wired that way to like, yeah, that I want to do that. I can do that.
Have you ever felt the runner's high? You know, some people tell me that there's a runner's high that you hit, and it's usually not at the start. It's midway through somewhere. There's some sort of pace or moment where you hit it, and I don't know what it is. Can you explain it to me what it means? Because I've felt when I've played basketball or I've been playing football, that point where I know I can't get tired right now because I'm in that peak of
shape. It's the zone.
Yeah, there's a peak of shape where I played in a game and I just felt I felt that. Is that how you feel when you're running?
Yeah, I used to get that every now and then. And then
I thought, isn't it like a massive endorphin release or something?
Yes, it is, because it's like your body is just working at its peak. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is that you're at peak performance and you're just sitting there, you're going through, and it's at the beginning, you're just like, okay, I'm warming up, I'm getting, my body doesn't feel right. And then when you're warm, your blood is pumping, all of a sudden you're sitting there like, this is easy. And then
when
that goes downhill, you come off that runner's high and you're like, okay, this is really hard again. My body can't handle it.
Okay, so runner's high is fluctuating while you're running.
Yeah. So for
you don't just hit it and stay in the zone.
Yeah.
You just, it comes in a wave.
Yeah. And if you're in really good shape, it lasts longer. Okay. And then you'll feel good when you get done running.
Sure.
Okay. But like when you're out of shape, so for like guys like you and me, we'll run like 20 steps and we'll be like, okay, now I'm getting warm. And then the next 20 steps, you're like, okay, I feel okay. And then 20 steps later, you're done. But when you're in shape, it actually is really longer. You can go miles and miles, you get that running.
No, it makes sense. I just have never experienced it.
For me, it's about 100 meters. That's about as long as you sit there and you go, all right,
yeah,
now I'm done.
This texter goes, I'm convinced that most ex-football players hate running. Due to the torture, running, infected, yes.
Yeah.
I still remember the pain and the anxiety I had on Tuesdays because it was 106's days. 106's are over and backs because the football field is 53 yards wide.
Yes.
So we had 106's. I had to make it over and back in 18 seconds. And I could still hear in my nightmare dreams my coach going, 15, 16, 17. And I just, even right now, I have frightening anxiety of that when I hear those countdowns.
Yeah. Run for fun.
Rust, you are a winner. I put my talk back on. But Rust, you're a winner, dude. That's my quote right there. There it is. Run for fun.
Run for fun.
Just with a big shot glass of whiskey sitting there.
I need to book my tea time now, though, because this whole thing is centered around, I'm going to be near at Brasada Ranch. So golfing is going to have to be one thing that is like a dangling carrot at the end of this thing, right?
I thought it was just sex.
That's another dangling carrot. If you're going to get me to run 6 miles more than once.
I know it's early,
folks. There's got to be multiple dangling
carrots.
Dusty's
married. He has two children. And if he makes his wife happy and he gets a reward at the end, gosh dang it, go run.
Yeah, for fun.
All of us married guys are like,
run for fun.
I'm going to do it. All sorts greatest. Of fun.
You're happy with that drop. That drop is wonderful.
Thank you. I can't believe that you had recall to a third of a genre or a trilogy.
That's impressive.
Is that not impressive?
I consider myself a fountain of fairly useless knowledge. Yeah. And I couldn't have reached back and grabbed
that. I have a lot of blank spaces in my brain and my head that are full of things that I can pull out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they just are in there for some reason. That one was in there for some reason because I hate running so much. And that's how I feel. Every time I think of running, that old man with a bottle of whiskey going...
Back to the Future.
Run for fun.
Right there.
Back to the Future 3.
Pulled that one out of nowhere.
Good recall.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right, today in sports history, 2003. Annika Sorenstam misses the cut at the Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas. This is a big deal. 15 years ago, she became the first woman to play a PGA Tour event, and she missed the cut by 4 strokes.
Yeah, I still remember her first tee shot where she striped her 3-wood and then started her walk and her legs started to wobble.
Yeah.
And she pretended like it was like, oh, scariest shot she ever did.
Yeah, think about how much longer that course was than what the LPGA event is. She held her own, man, and she was, I mean, if you think of when she was even at her peak and at her prime, it was probably a few years before 2003 even.
Yeah.
You know, with Annika. And having her compete the way that she did, first woman in 58 years to participate in a PGA Tour event.
I'd really love to see the top woman in the world go after some men. That would be interesting. And on just a regular size golf course, and see, no matter what, where length is not important. There's a lot of great golf courses built where you have to have target golf. And there's some ladies out there, I'm telling you, the dudes think that they're just bombers. We just bomb it. Nuh-uh. Some ladies would take them down. That would be fun.
If you ever go to those LPGA events that come through town here,
oh yeah,
amazing to watch them golf.
Women are amazing.
Amazing. And that would be fun. Like, if what would be great is a match play event with pairs, men and women pairs together. So you have a
great idea, Dusty.
A guy and a gal, a guy and a gal, and they
have
play
a Ryder Cup versus when it's mixed doubles.
So like the Solheim Cup and Ryder Cup mashed together.
That's an excellent idea.
All right, well, let's make some money off that, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
And do that.
New sponsor.
Yeah, maybe somebody else will do that for us. All right, coming up on today's show, NFL changes their anthem rules and people aren't happy. Some people are happy. We will discuss and get to the latest from Roger Goodell and around the NFL and your thoughts in our textual relations at 6:30. The Cavs and Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals continued. Why Oregon State is in the running for one of the top quarterback prospects in the country, and some other Pac-12 news and notes. But where we start, the most captivating postseason right now, wow. It's got one of the coolest things in all of sports. 6:13 on The Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right. We got P1s that are reaching out saying I can get you back down to 7-minute mile in no time. Let's pump the brakes here for a minute, you know? There is one thing, though, as I think about my soreness from running, that the text lines got me thinking about. My brother and I were talking about this yesterday.
I want to know your best mile ever.
What, my best mile?
Yeah, what's your best mile?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know.
You don't remember?
Mm-mm. Oh, I was never like a mile runner. I've never really like tried to run a mile for time.
But what do you think you could have done? Fives? High fives? Mid fives?
Yeah, I could have gone, yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we used to do, in college, we would have to do a 3-mile run in 18 minutes. Mm. So that is 3 straight 6-minute miles.
Yeah. I had to run freshman year. Part of our conditioning test was running the mile.
Yeah.
For football players. This is how long ago this is. So as a freshman and a sophomore, I literally had to, but before I could participate in 2-a-days camp, I had to pass the mile test.
Yeah.
I had to run 6 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
At 200 and what was I? I was 265.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
I would be interested
My fastest I ever ran it was 6:41. I never passed it. So every morning during 2-a-days, I had to wake up and do extra conditioning because I couldn't run 11 seconds faster.
You know what? As part of this training,
it was one of the biggest, dumbest things I can think back to.
Because you always run a mile in football.
But I'm a 7-second athlete. What the heck am I doing?
Yeah.
Terrible.
As part of this, I will try and get to. I'll try to run my fastest mile for you.
Yeah.
Just for you.
Me, whatever. I mean, yeah, do it for you.
I just need to find a mile.
Do it for your wife. Do it for that mile, happiness.
1 mile that is straight and downhill, and then I'll run that.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, my brother and I were talking about this. I'm sore right now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that little kids, they run everywhere? Like, they don't walk. Like, when you're a little kid, you just run.
Yeah.
Everywhere you're going.
Was running.
Could you imagine if we just did that our entire lives, where we just continued to run everywhere? You'd never get sore if you just ran everywhere you go.
Yeah, we missed this quote. I think it was last week, the guy who set the world record in speed golf.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Eric Burns, the old baseball player.
Yeah, 98 holes of golf.
Yeah.
In 18 hours.
Oof.
Continuously.
Yeah. That's crazy.
He's running, playing golf. So
wait, what you say? Hold on. So he didn't have a cart. He ran everywhere.
No, speed golf is running.
Well,
I think it was, no, it was faster than that. It wasn't 18 hours. I got to look at the,
it was 12 hours and he went 65 miles or something.
Yeah,
like
it was nuts.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Maybe your kids run everywhere, but
when they're young, when you're really little.
Oh, when you're young,
you know what I'm talking about?
Like, of course,
you want to get everywhere.
You want to get moving.
We need to keep that up.
Walking when you're a child.
I'm going to try that maybe with my son. Is like, I'll do this human experiment where he just has to run everywhere his entire life. He won't turn out weird.
Exercise is good.
Yeah. Pew and Anthony, what the hell are you running a mile for?
You know what, Anthony? Yeah, I asked myself that same dang question when I showed up to camp. What was I going to tell Don James? No. No, coach. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. See how that one flies.
See how that one flies.
Have fun at PLU.
Yeah. Welcome to the University of Washington. No, get out of here.
All right. I watched hockey last night. Did you? Did you watch your Stanley Cup?
Remember,
Conference Final?
I didn't get a chance to. I was on my phone. I was following on my phone. I was at a 3.5-hour baseball game. It was a barn burner.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it was a barn burner.
A 3.5-hour baseball game? You went to the Mariner game?
No, I went to a U13-year-old 3.5-hour baseball game. So I was following the NBA Eastern Conference Finals and cheering on the Caps like there's no tomorrow. I saw it when it got 3-0 in the third. I went, oh boy, I was excited.
Well, it only took a minute for the scoring to start. Alexander Ovechkin, my man Ovi.
Your man.
Puts one in.
Your man Ovi. He's your man now?
Yeah, I know his nickname, so he's my man.
So he's your man.
This is the great thing, is that I am now part-time hockey fan.
Me too.
And Alexander Ovechkin was the guy that I was rooting for to get in. Now we have the Stanley Cup Finals, Vegas and the Caps, where you have Ovechkin, who's like the best player in the world. He's played 13 years, never played for a Stanley Cup. And then the team is first year of existence. This is great for me, casual fan guy. Because I don't have to root for a team. I can just pick and choose who I'm going to root for in this thing. And I sat there and I watched that game. And at the end of it, I flipped back and forth because, you know, it's a blowout. You don't want to. But I made sure to watch like the final minute of the hockey game too. And the trophy presentation. And hockey is so cool. At the end, they do a handshake line. At the end of every series, right?
Yeah.
Where... How many times have we seen, like, LeBron loses a series and everybody just walks off.
No bro hugs or anything.
Right? It's
Russell Westbrook going to fight the crowd, not even giving anybody a bro hug or a high five as he leaves Utah.
Yeah, as he's trying to slap cell phones out of people's hands and
total bitterness.
We see it in the NFL, too, right? Brady just walks off the field, doesn't congratulate anybody, remember?
And to be fair, there are a lot of guys that do that. That gives some bro hugs and love it up and exchange jerseys. And there's a lot of good guys that do that. It's just sometimes we see the stars get butt hurt and walk away.
But this is what I love about the way that hockey does it, is that it's not just a couple of guys who, you know, and they're not just cracking smiles and joking after they win. They go through the handshake line, youth sports style, and everybody, it takes a really long time for them to get through because you say something like, hey, congratulations, good luck. It's this mutual respect thing that we just went through in these guys, a 7-game series. And these guys in Tampa just had their hearts ripped out because they had a chance to go and play in the Stanley Cup final. And it's a handshake. Good luck to you. That was a great fight. Ultimate sportsmanship and respect. None of this, you know, I'm just going to pout and go home because I lost my series.
Was there a controversial hit last night that happened?
There was a fight.
A little bit of a scrum.
Yeah.
There was some good. I saw some guy took a shot to the boards. It looked like he got knocked out, for gosh sakes.
Well, you have, I love how they call them, what do they call them? Coincidental majors. You have this Wilson dude who for the Caps who he was suspended.
How about the beards in hockey?
Playoff beards are great.
Playoff beards better than baseball beards. hockey beards.
Yeah.
Their beards are wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely there. But Tom Wilson is kind of, he's known as a hooligan, little cheap shot artist type guy. And he got into it a little bit. But that's the thing is that these guys literally fight each other. And then it's handshakes, hugs, and goodbye. I love that.
Short memories in hockey.
Why don't we do that in other sports?
We do. Major League Baseball has the end of the. Oh,
they
no,
shake
we don't.
Each other's hand. They only shake themselves'
hands. Only if they win.
Yeah.
Only if you lose, you head into the clubhouse. Yeah. If you win, you go out.
And you go out and you high five yourselves.
Yeah. Well, you got to celebrate. I mean, that's everybody's got traditions. Mm-hmm. You don't think that there's any. There is no, you know what, even in the World Series too, like when the Cubs are celebrating or Houston celebrating, the Dodgers are all just sitting there. I love the pan over camera where everybody's just sitting in the clubhouse in the dugout going, that's bad radio. But just, you know, the blank stare we've lost.
The I-5 eyes where you're just staring out towards the highway.
You really don't want to celebrate or talk to anybody. So maybe hockey's just got it figured out that there's a respect thing that this is what we do. It's tradition. We're going to do it no matter what. Swallow your pride. Deal with it. Shake my hand.
Exactly.
Competition.
Boom.
Thank you.
And that is awesome.
Respect for competition is huge in my eyes.
Yeah. And then also I noticed this, and I always forget about it until this time of the year, but they have this taboo of you don't touch the conference trophy after you win it. It's supposed to be bad luck. If you touch the conference trophy, because you're only supposed to hoist the cup.
I did not know that.
At the end. And both Vegas and the Capitals just gave the middle finger to that. And they're like, no, we're definitely touching these trophies. So both teams jinxed themselves.
Okay.
And on the ice, they did the interview with Ovechkin. They said, you're going to go touch that trophy? And he goes, watch me. And he just goes right over.
You believe in those superstition stuff like that?
No, but I love that about sports, is that you sit there and you have these curses and these things that you're not supposed to do. And the fact that the Capitals hadn't, I mean, it's been so long since that they've been there. They're like, no, we're going to embrace this moment. Screw that. And so now you have two jinx teams playing for the Stanley Cup. So I'm on board. This has been way more captivating than the NBA. And it's probably because I have no idea what's going on.
Because you're cheering for just pure sport.
Yeah.
Because it's fun. You're looking for guys. There's stories right now in the NHL. Great stories with Las Vegas. Great stories with Ovechkin making it to, after 13 years, best player on the planet and never play for a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
That's what's exciting about it. Mm-hmm. And now we get that as fans. And I think that hockey, now that we're going to get more and more hockey here in the Northwest, when Seattle gets its team, and then you get to see there's going to be more influence with a little bit of hockey.
Yeah. Cool. Sign me up. If Portland had a hockey team, I'd be a fan.
Of course.
I could see myself watching that sport.
Portland does have a hockey team. Just a
little. Well, yeah, I know.
But I know NHL team. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I know. The big boys.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't have one. And so I'll just wait for the Blazers to do handshake lines after they lose playoff series.
And dancing and
dancing?
Well, intro dancing and hand jives and handshakes.
Oh, the Blazers.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Well, all basketball players have the best handshakes in all sports. Ding, 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 ding. Shoulder shimmy,
it is
shake.
It's definitely a handshake.
I don't know what the CJ is. Is the shimmy, shibby, shibby?
It's a handshake-centric sport.
It's very handshaky.
Yeah.
Very handshaky.
Oh, man. All right, 55305. Cam, Dusty, part-time hockey fans. We're getting our sweaters. Do you want to pick sides in the Stanley Cup or no?
I'll take the Caps.
Oh, you're taking my boy, Ovi.
Okay, I'll take the Lightning.
Aren't playing.
Not the Lightning, sorry.
Golden Knights.
The Knights. You got me confused. I'll take the Knights then. I'll take the Knights. I have no rooting interest.
This is gonna be great.
I have no rooting interest, but I'll take the Knights, and you can have the Caps.
No, it's okay. You wanted the Caps.
No, I don't need the Caps. It's fine. I'll take the Knights. I'm not going to fight over it.
We love hockey. All right. The NFL changes the anthem rules, and people aren't happy. But some people are. Hear from Roger Goodell. NFL, right or wrong? Did they get it right? Here's Russ with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Fan text sign. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. A little overcast Thursday morning. All right. Yesterday, the NFL, its owners, and Commissioner Roger Goodell announced sweeping changes to their much bandied about national anthem policy. Let's just hear from the commissioner himself on the new policy. Let it sink in. We want to hear from you at 55305.
All 32 clubs want to make sure that during the moment of the anthem and the flag, that is a very important moment to all of us as a league, as clubs, personally, and to our country. And that's a moment that we want to make sure is done in a very respectful fashion. And that was something that was very strongly held in the room. We think that we've come up with a balanced process here and a procedure and policy that will allow those players who feel that they can't stand for the anthem to stay in the locker room. And there's no penalty for that, but we are going to encourage all of them to be on the field. We'd like all of them to be on the field and stand at attention.
And if they do come out onto the field and choose to protest, the team will be fine, not the players individually. So it'll be on a team-by-team basis, dictating whether or not you go out onto the field. Players who want to go, they can. Players that don't want to go, they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
What are your feelings on the new anthem policy and the potential fines that may come with it?
Well, let's first start and just backtrack a little bit. So those of you that don't remember, and look, when my career, I never came out for the anthem. So we've discussed this before, and this is a hot button. We haven't had this kind of heavy, heavy attention on a decision by the NFL, which really relates to everybody in our country. In my thoughts, and I look on this and I go, you're either on one side or the other. There is no middle ground on this. It doesn't feel like there's a middle ground. If you go back to 2009 when the NFL finally decided to go out for anthems, I never went out for an anthem in my career. Never did. And in 2009, the NFL took marketing dollars from the armed forces.
Millions.
Millions of dollars from the armed forces in 2009 to create what is called some sort of way to... like recruiting. I mean, anytime you see, the military recruits. It creates young men and women. They want to come into the armed services to be a part of that. And they spend millions of dollars in our country marketing their service. That's what the NFL decided to do. So the root of this is based upon revenue for the NFL. That's my first point when you start with this. Because this isn't, in my opinion, this doesn't start with patriotism. Mm-mm. This starts with capitalism. It starts with marketing dollars. That's the root of the beginning of it. So if I start with that process and now move forward to all the way 2015 and 16, when it turns into, oh boy, what are we doing now? We're showing military families we're doing this. If you look at your past and see what the NFL is doing now, is they're deciding to base their opinion on fear. What is their fear? Well, the NFL executives have made it very clear to them that our political leaders have said this is unacceptable for our number one sport in the world to have our players doing that for the fans. Also, there's proof. There's numbers behind Bleacher Report, Pro Football Talk. Everybody's shown the numbers of how fans are disappointed with what players are doing by protesting their political points of view on Sundays, on Mondays, and on Thursdays. These are all the things. This hot button, the NFL had a chance. They had a chance to do something the right way. But what the NFL does is they react and they take in, like any other organization, more than ever that I think they take political points of view and fan opinions and they use that as their basis for decisions more than any other sport in the world, in my opinion. From the Ray Rice situation to Colin Kaepernick to anybody that gets in, the immediate iron fist comes down with a decision and they use their political power to be able to make this decision. The NFL made a mistake. They did. They clearly made a mistake. This wasn't even that big of an issue in the offseason. It was not. But they had to deal with it right now. And they glossed over everything. They glossed over it all. And they found a way to now divide the country even more and divide the fans even more. Where now there's a button between the two where you go, all right, am I going to watch a game? Do I really want to watch this game because of players? Think about this. You're now deciding whether you want to watch football in this country based upon what the league decided to tell you,
yeah,
not whether you like the game or not.
Yeah, and
that's where we're at.
You say that the NFL made a mistake, and that mistake may not have just been yesterday's ruling, but it may have been what you said 9 years ago in 2009. May have been when that first mistake happened.
Greed, Dusty. This has nothing to do with what it is great for our country. This has to do with what's great for capitalistic, greedy NFL players and executives trying to grow their brand and take marketing dollars. The root of this is based in capitalistic greed.
Yes.
And is now turned into going on an E, no longer, in my opinion. Then this is, you can have your own opinion out there, but I'm going to share you mine because I got a mic.
Yes.
The root of this now starts with, it's no longer about whatever your social justice and cause is. This is now about fighting back to authority. And it starts with Donald Trump, our president.
Yes.
It starts with the fear that now that he says executives are supposed to be afraid, players are supposed to be SOBs if they don't. This is no longer about a social justice cause. This is about somebody standing above you and saying, you follow my rules or this. And you're like, I'm not going to follow your rules. It's free country. That's where we're at with this now.
Well, and a lot of this too, I mean, when you look at it, the lines have been blurred so much in this because the original message is actually lost because, oh, how we forget that. The original protest was Colin Kaepernick sitting, right?
Yeah.
And then a former NFL player who was a war veteran and served in our military confronted him and said, that's very disrespectful to the men and women that right. lost their lives and served this country.
Right.
And Colin Kaepernick said, okay, what can I do that isn't disrespectful to them is still respectful to the flag and to the men and women that serve, but still I can get a message across. And taking a knee was the answer. So finding middle ground is what Kaepernick tried to do with taking a knee, right? Mm-hmm. And so we lose sight in that. Then the whole reason why it's taking a knee is to show reverence to the men and women that serve. Mm-hmm. But this conversation has just been muddy, and we forget about why.
This is now a sides game. This is about sides. This is about, are you a Trump supporter? Are you not? Are you a political? Are you military one? Or are you? There is no middle ground now. Now it's the NFL is now up against the NFLPA because now that the NFL has made this decision, anytime you make a decision where there are fines, team fines, individual fines, they have gone and made this policy without consulting the NFL Players Association, which anytime you do in the collective bargaining agreement, it states very clearly you cannot make fineable policies without consulting or collectively bargaining this. They went again with the iron fist and said, you do this, you guys will do this. And you have owners. You have owners. The Jets owner says, I can't believe this. I will pay the fines for my players.
Christopher Johnson, whose dad and is actually a team owner, Woody Johnson, is an ambassador for the United States.
Yes.
He came out and his said, I never want to put restrictions on the speech of our players. Do I prefer they stand? Of course. But I understand if they felt the need to protest, and said he will pay any incurred fines. But here's where the NFL is trying to get away with that, is they're going to find the team, not the player. Right?
Right.
And so they're trying to find a wiggle way around this.
Again, the root of this is all based upon marketing dollars that started in 2009. That's where the root.
And where they really botched it is by not addressing it at the beginning when this thing first happened. And that by addressing it, it's not even saying, this is our new rule and initiating a new rule. It is either supporting or going against Colin Kaepernick in ending the protest right there. Right? They didn't nip this thing in the bud, and then it turned into where we're at right now. And where we're at right now is there is an element to what you're saying where it has become gaslighted by political stances on this.
Right.
And by not political stances of social justice reform, which was the initial protest. It is Republicans versus Democrats.
Perfect example right here. I'm going to give you this example because when you put this on our text line, I'm going to read it for you. Because if you want to say it, it says, get your political views. This texter says, get your political views off the air. This is sports. Don't put down our president. I don't know what put a burr in saddles of everybody, but this is a personal vendetta to a lot of individuals out there. I don't have a personal vendetta, and I don't have a stake in this because I'm not a current player anymore.
No, it is.
I personally would never, ever sit down or kneel down. But I don't have the social injustice issues. And I don't care whatever anybody says. You can say whatever you want. You want to put down a president. You want to do whatever you want. That's a you issue. That's a you problem. You hear whatever you want. This is a hot button based upon the internal, intrinsic inside your body that just drives you nuts. This is nothing. Nobody's putting down anybody here. I'm telling you that the policies right now are confusing, mixed, no matter what president or what people that are running this country right now. This is so far from what is needed is a fight over whether players are doing this.
55305, that is the fan text line. Your feedback in this texture says, protest on your own blanking time. I turn on the TV to watch football, not your political statements. That time is their time. It is their time. That's what they're saying. 55305. Dustin Cam on the fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Roger Goodell and the NFL announced their new national anthem policy. Players have the option to come out or stay in the locker room, but if you do come out and, quote, disrespect the flag, your team will be fine. People none too happy about this on either side. Mm-hmm. And it's our textual relations day at 55305.
This is going to be interesting today, and I applaud all of you that want to stand by your opinions. And that's what's great about our country and do this. And it's great about what we do here at Sports Talk with, I mean, Dustin Camp, me and you are always going to keep it real. I'm going to shoot you straight. This texter comes and says, that's your opinion. You guys need to get over your hatred for the NFL. Not everything they do is wrong. Sometimes the players are wrong, whether it's his case or not. Let me get one thing crystal clear to everybody out there, especially to that texter. I'm sitting here because of the opportunity I was given by the NFL. I love the NFL. Love it. I also love my dad, who was in the military. He's 82, going to be 82 this year. But I disagree with a few things that he did as a man and as my leader growing up, who was in the military. That's my family. That was my leader who I followed growing up. I can disagree with my leaders, okay, but I can still respect them. I respect the NFL more than anything. I respect the leaders of it. Am I going to disagree with people? Certainly. But I'm sitting in this chair today, and every opportunity I've had in my life is because of the effort I put through and the opportunity the NFL gave me. So don't ever question my love for the NFL or anything like that, because I'm going to keep it straight and I'm going to keep it real, right for all of you. But this is, in my opinion, I said it. I would never sit. But you out there, this is what's made the controversy and the gasoline has gone on the fire, is that there's no safe haven for anybody that has an opinion on here. There is. There isn't. If you don't or you do, there is opposite sides saying, how dare you? How dare you? And look where we've gotten. Look where it is right now. Look at this visceral, hate.
The visceral reaction.
Yes. Yeah. And it comes from people immediately that are so passionate about this side. And that's where I say, where does your hate come from? Where does your hate come from? Look at that. Immediately just react to it and understand it. But here's, I'll tell you right now, I'm behind a mic, man. Don't question my love and my passion. You do. I'll show you what it is straight up front. I'm not here to intimidate or anything. I'm just telling you, I believe it to my core. I'm so close to this.
There are times when, to a fault, you protect football in the NFL.
Well, how many of you are actually former NFL players who live and died by that shield every day and then grew up in a family with a dad who's how many can speak to this? How many do you know that can speak to that?
I know I don't know very many other NFL
players. I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm just telling you straight up, this is about as real as it gets.
But in what you're saying too is a good point, in that, you know, this conversation has overshadowed the fact of what the initial one is supposed to be. And I mean, if you're talking about there is no middle ground here, I think there should be the middle ground is, you know, an appreciation for the players who are trying to bring a voice in the protest, and how do they move that conversation forward. You know, because the act of the protest is to get people to talk about social injustice and injustice reform in our country. Now they have a platform that everybody is talking about it. Where do they take those next steps? And the NFL has put, what is it, $93 million into a social justice reform fund. And the thing is that one, there's a whole side of it that didn't want to talk about social justice reform, so they made it about disrespect to the flag and disrespect to the military, which is not the intent of this at all.
Yeah,
and
no,
there's an unwillingness to listen and hear a middle ground on that. They just don't want to hear that there is a potential middle ground.
We do know that the NFL is a business. It's a very ruthless business. I tell you guys every day what they do to players, what it is. You're just a commodity. You're a racehorse. There's no value from the drugs to the things that we do, to Brett Favre talking about his alcohol, being able to take Vicodin every day to make it, to the guys doing it. But it has a lot of positives, too. I'll show you the dark side. I'll tell you the dark side. But there's some great side of the camaraderie, the locker rooms, the atmosphere, meeting fans that are there, somebody wanting me to sign their trading card for them because I came up to them and went, hey, I watched you play. You know how much of an honor that is when someone asked that for me, even still now or anything? I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for this league. So there's a lot of great things. Well, right now, this is overshadowing really why we love our sports here. It's taken away from our enjoyment. Do I like politics? What do I say every day about politics?
You hate that.
Hate it.
And people that don't know this, like, you don't say it every day on the air.
Oh.
You literally do every day say it at one point off the air.
Yeah.
You hate it.
Because it takes away, it divides people so much where we can't come together and enjoy. You know what I want to do? I want to sit at my house. I want to have a beer with my buddies who is of a certain race or a certain gender, a certain background. But what I can do with sports is I can sit there and have a beer with him or her. And we're just enjoying the sport.
You know what? And a lot of this is too, and this is one of the great things about football and just being in a locker room, what the sport does is this divisiveness, it does not exist nearly to the extent that people believe it does in a locker room.
Even about this topic. No.
Because the best thing about football is in my times playing, even at the small college level, I met guys from, you know, East Oakland, that a kid from Hillsborough, I never would have encountered. But they're some of my lifelong friends now, you know, and guys that are from all over the country that I never would have from different backgrounds, ethnicities, races, that we all kind of come together. It's like it's a melting pot in a locker room. And this divisiveness isn't nearly as bad in the locker room and in the NFL as it is outside in the public.
And I certainly don't have a fix. No. I don't have a fix for it. I don't know where the league and how, but it's not going to go away. And I mean, I don't know why the league would even just say, players, you need to stay in the locker room. I don't know what could have been a better solution to this or done this. I think that this is it's difficult, man. It is. There's no way that any of us could sit there and say, I would have done it this way and it would have been better.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, though. The NFL did make a FUBAR.
Yes, I think they did. One thing that would have helped make all this better is by not trying to tell these young men who are protesting what it is they're protesting about. Listen to them. They're trying to use their voice and tell you what this protest is about.
That's
right. On the other side, you have all these owners, and I don't want to politicize this, but it's been politicized. But all those other people on the other side saying, no, that's not what your protest is about.
Right.
Who the hell are these people to tell these men what their protest is about?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying earlier, in that Colin Kaepernick went out of his way to change the format of the protest in order to be respectful for the military. And the service people of our country.
Yeah.
That got lost.
And the main problem was the other side went and found other members of the military that wanted to turn around and warp things and to suit.
The NFL as a league, they botched this because the NBA doesn't have this problem and everybody has to stand.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't talking about that.
Nope.
55305, while more on this, our tech relations. Plus, we could come in next. We got our hot and cool little NFL notes, college football, and baseball as well. Dustin and Cam on the Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.